ever so important, though, the interview coming up at 08:30 regarding the rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus, RHDV, that coming up in a few minutes' time. In fact, about 30 seconds' time now, we'll be kicking off with that. We'll talk a little motorsport there afterwards. A little bit too much happening to squeeze it into a small gap, so we'll do that a little later. So listen out at about quarter to the top of the hour there, and we will have our motorsport and update on what is happening and what's happening today and what's coming up in the following month or so. Let's see. I think we've got Sonia Slabbert on the line. Good morning, Sonia. Are you there?
Good morning. I'm here all the way from George.
Lovely stuff, and I hope the weather's as good as what it is down here. And just to for our listeners, 6 months ago, we had the privilege of interviewing Monique from the Southern Cape Bunny Haven, and it's essential to revisit our conversation. And then, as I said earlier, that podcast is still available on our webpage. The Haven, nestled in the Garden Route of South Africa, serves as a refuge for disabled and special needs rabbits facing daunting threats of rabbits hemorrhagic disease virus. We'll get it right, eh? RHDV. With approximately 300 rabbits under their care, the Haven is under severe financial pressure, urgently needing support to sustain the intensive operations. Despite the challenges posed by the outbreak, they remain steadfast in their commitment to providing care and conducting passive observations to contribute to the global understanding of rabbit behavior. As we reflect on our previous discussion, let's remember the vital work being done at the Southern Cape Bunny Haven and the urgent need for public support to ensure its continuation. Good morning, Sonia, and we've got a whole host of questions that we're going to be going through here, and a very special day for you as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. As a long-time supporter of the Southern Cape Bunny Haven, how have you observed the organization coping with the ongoing challenges posed by the RHDV outbreak?
Good morning, Arvin. In terms of RHDV, the Haven is under a lot of stress. They've got strict biosecurity measures in place, which is a bit of a challenge for them. The first challenge is quarantine, which makes housing the rabbits very difficult. Any new intakes, any rabbits that are dumped that they need to urgently fetch, need to go into a different section than what everybody else is being kept. So, and with the recent floods that's been happening in George, they've lost part of their quarantine unit and they are having to rebuild. Then another challenge is also the cost of the vaccine. It's impossible to vaccinate every rabbit in the Haven. Although we were very lucky, we got the vaccine at cost. Cost is still 400 rand a vaccine, and we were able to do about 17 of them. And then with quarantine comes the increased cleaning. Products like F10 is about 500 and something rand for a bottle. It goes very far when you've got five rabbits like I do. It doesn't go so far when you've got 300 rabbits in your care.
Yeah, that vaccine is rather pricey, and it's quite a pity that they couldn't drop that in price a little bit there, and noted how far money goes when you are spending that kind of money on just a medication. From your perspective as a supporter, how has the increased awareness of RHDV affected the community's support for the Haven? Are they coming to light? Has there been help from the outsiders?
A lot of people are unaware of what rabbits are like. Get the comment quite often myself. But we have seen some increased support from amazing individuals. We have also had some support from the Harcourt Foundation. I myself am an agent with Harcourt's Advantage in East London. But yeah, as far as major companies, there has not been much help or awareness as such with major companies. I have taken the liberty to write to a certain amount of companies. For example, I have written to DotSure. their logo is a bunny. And yeah, I'm very excited. I hope that at some point we will hear something back from them, and hoping to get some support from them, even if it's in terms of the vaccine. Anything actually will help. Hardware stores, food stores, anybody that wants to get involved will be most welcome. But we've mostly had support from individual people.
Can you think of any recent success or a positive outcome, one of them that highlights from the Haven's effort to combat the RHDV?
So far as I'm aware, there hasn't been any outbreaks in the Haven itself. Although the Haven has lost bunnies towards RHDV that has been in foster care, but the Haven, due to the strict protocols in place, have been RHD free so far. There's a lot of work that goes into keeping it that way. Monique is currently tracking the statistics and the symptoms, and she's assisting owners countrywide. I'm aware of bunnies that have actually healed from RHDV. I think they were vaccinated, though. And then we have also had 70 bunnies vaccinated thanks to the Harcourts Foundation inside the Haven. And as far as I'm aware, they're all still doing really well.
Yeah, it's one of those things. If your bunny or your pet bunny does pick up the RHDV, it's got very little chance of survival. So if it has had the injection, it possibly wouldn't pick up the virus. If it does pick up the virus, it's got a good chance of survival there. So that's why it's so important that we get the necessary injection for the bunnies. What other measures have you seen implemented to ensure the safety or the well-being of the rabbits in the Haven's care during this difficult time?
Okay, so I have mentioned about some of them have been vaccinated. There is strict biosecurity measures in place. Quarantine of new rabbits is for a minimum of 28 days, and they need to avoid contact with wild rabbits. There's a lot of wild rabbit population in the Southern Cape, so cleaning is of utmost importance. They disinfect surfaces and objects in between going to enclosure, from enclosure to enclosure. They use F10 and disinfect to kill the virus on various surfaces and equipment. When you go into the Haven, I will be going there tomorrow. I will be walking through a foot bath of F10. I will be sprayed from head to toe before I'm even allowed to enter. They need to secure safe hay. Hay also needs to be stored for a certain amount of time and be heat treated before it's safe for feeding, because the virus can spread in hay as well.
Yeah, this is part of our world series as well that we bring on a daily Saturday morning in the Wake Up Show. I was going to mention or ask you about the effect on the wildlife, and obviously it's had quite an effect on that as well. And part of our show is to prevent pollution, and we obviously looking after our environment as well as our wildlife and all that as well. So, yeah, it's unfortunately affecting the wild little bunnies out there as well. Looking ahead, what are your thoughts on addressing the long-term impact of the RHDV on the Haven's operations? I think up until now you've done very, very well, and I'm sure that we've got it in hand.
Yes, Ivan. Coming back to your wild hare population thing as well, our riverine rabbit is endangered species at the moment, and we are unsure of how many of them are left in the wild. This virus is a great risk to us losing our riverine rabbits. As far as addressing long-term impact of RHDV on the Haven's operations, we need a sustainable vaccine. We need vaccines that are cheaper. I know there is some people working on that at the moment. The vaccine is imported through HPRA, hence the price. We need to do a lot more information drives. We need sustainable funding. And I know it's wishful thinking, but we need to temporarily stop the movement of rabbits. if we can get this virus to die, it will be amazing. Unfortunately, there is still pet shops selling rabbits. There are breeders still out there breeding rabbits. People are dumping rabbits, not sterilizing their own pet rabbits, moving them from place to place. And that's unfortunately how the virus spreads. But we just got to look after what we've got and keep on going with our security and look for some sustainable funding and educate the public as much and as far as what we can.
Yeah, from our side, we've been following the story quite closely, and we need to just congratulate the Haven and all those involved for their success story so far. They've done extremely well, but it is a rather aggressive virus there as well. Noted on the losing of the wildlife, so sad, and hopefully, I think it's Dot Insurance you mentioned, can come on board, being as it their bunny is their logo, and definitely help on the vaccine side of it there. Well, here's an interesting bit, and this all costs money, and obviously we've got to get money in, and let's discuss the upcoming charity thrift shop, Love Lucy, and what's inspired the creation of the shop, and how do you envision it supporting the Haven's mission? And I think as we speak, the shop has just opened.
Yes, that is extremely exciting. I've been a long-time supporter of the Haven. I've got three bunnies that come from the Haven. But for many years, I've supported with some donations here and there, sharing of their causes, a little bit of fundraising where I could. But I've got a bunny named Lucy, and when Lucy got sick, the only vet that could assist me was Dr. Susie Cock in George from Eden Animal Hospital. I've traveled through with Lucy. I'm not going to give the long story, but Lucy wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Dr. Susie and the Bunny Haven. And I've decided to visit the Bunny Haven while I was in George, and it just opened my eyes to the need that is out there and how much people give up to look after these bunnies. The founder, Monique Hursen, and her husband, Derek, they have dedicated their entire life to this Haven. And thanks to them and the amazing vet in George, my Lucy is still with me. And I have named the shop Love Lucy as a dedication to the Bunny Haven.
Yeah, as a supporter, how do you plan to get involved with Love Lucy and contribute to its success, besides the fact that you are right there at the moment? And I think you guys have been very, very busy the past week or so getting everything set up. And from the pictures I've seen, it looks like you've got something great going there. And we need the public to support them.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, I'm currently in George. Like I've mentioned before, I am originally an East London local. So I am in George until next Wednesday, sorting out the charity shop. I've brought a whole heap of donations with me. The car was packed to the brim. A lot of people in George have donated. Murray Head, who owns the salon next to the shop, have donated a lot of stuff. And that is the stuff we will be selling. I'm currently setting up systems for the accounting side of it, doing the pricing. We drilled some holes. Well, Murray drilled the holes yesterday, hanging the clothes up, sorting things out. And yes, we are ready for business.
Yeah, from some of the photos I saw, she makes a real handy woman. Now, I can't call her a handy man. That wouldn't be very nice. Are there specific types of donations or items that Love Lucy is in need of? Are we sticking to clothing, or is there things like ornaments, CDs, pretty much like some of the other shops do?
Yes, we can pretty much sell anything. We don't have a lot of space. We've only got 9 square meters. So we're focusing on clothing, toys, home decorations, tools. Any bigger items are also welcome. We can sell them on Marketplace and store them on the other side of Love Lucy. So anything that is worth a bit of money is welcome for the shop.
can, I'm not sure if we'll discuss it later in the thing, would they just get a hold of you or possibly Monique? And I think towards the end of the show, we'll give out some numbers.
So on the Love Lucy page, I've got my number and I've got Mariette's number. She's got the hair salon, and she, together with her staff and her colleagues, will be able to look after the shop until we can decide if we want to employ somebody permanently. But for now, it is a cost saving to have her there and being willing to assist with the shop.
We really got to thank them for that too. And I know they've put a lot of time and effort in there. So if you're looking for a good hair salon, you know where to go. A little bit of advertising we're squeezing in there for you there. From your perspective, what role do you see Love Lucy playing in the broader sustainability of the South Cape Haven or Bunny Haven?
Love Lucy is a lifeline. We get so many situations where we are extremely short of cash, and I'm hoping that Love Lucy will generate enough to at least cover Monique's rent, cover some medicines, cover some food, so that our fundraising operations can go to actually helping more animals in need.
Lovely stuff. And that's just another call out to the public there. And you don't have to be in George to donate. You can be anywhere in the country, and we'll contact the necessary on the numbers provided, and they will make a plan to get it down. So please, if you even if you're in Port Elizabeth, anywhere, in fact, we did collect a parcel in Port Elizabeth on the way through there as well. So don't say we're not anywhere near George, we can't help. From your perspective, well, let's say, I think we've asked that one. Beyond the thrift shop, what other initiatives of fundraising efforts do you envision? I know you've got some things in the pipeline there, and there's a couple running in the background as well to support the Haven's work.
Yes, absolutely. So back in East London, we are working on a golf day with the East London Golf Club, together with Harcourt's Advantage and Emsley Attorneys. I am very lucky to work for a company that care as much as I do. Emsley Attorneys is part of our firm as well. So we will be hosting a golf day in aid of Southern Cape Bunny Haven. And we are thinking it's going to be quite a big golf day, looking at about 120 to 130 golfers, hoping to get sponsors for all of the holes for advertising and just get the whole of East London together. I am meeting up with Harcourt's Eden in George on Monday. Caring is actually a Harcourt's thing. It's just in the way we do things. And I'm hoping to suggest to them a few fundraisers as well, where I will be assisting. So I've done quite a lot of these before. Perhaps a biker's breakfast, also a golf day, ladies' tea, anything like that is nice branding for the company that does it, but also a good deed in terms of the finances going to the charity.
Lovely stuff. And once again there, we request the public out there for their support. And yeah, those golf days are always very, very popular. So come out for a good day's golfing there. And the good news from my side is that I'll provide the sound and the PA system absolutely free and gratis. How do you hope Love Lucy will engage and connect with the local community in George, based on your observations? And I'm sure that we'll tell, now that the shop is open, how many visitors we get.
I'm hoping it will make people think about bunnies. Majority of people I speak to know all about cats and dogs, and they know the need about cats and dogs. And yes, there's a huge need, but people seem to forget about the little creatures, bunnies, and people don't know how intelligent and how amazing they are. And I've got a little bunny that's very much like a dog. He will jump on your lap and come for pets and licks, and he's around your feet, and, well, all of them actually are like that. And they are just as important as cats and dogs, and I'm hoping that people will give a second thought to bunnies when they see them and perhaps look out for them and care for them. And even if they don't own bunnies or don't want to own bunnies, they will look at helping bunnies in the future and spreading the word and spreading the information.
Are there any challenges or obstacles you foresee as the thrift shop, Love Lucy, prepares to launch and operate? And, well, that's kind of happened already, and I know that you were extremely busy. And the one thing that you find when you're doing something like this is the cost of hooks, hangers, shelving, and maybe some of those things you don't quite put into your calculation. So the setup itself was probably an obstacle. I wouldn't say an obstacle, but quite a job.
Yes, it was. When I got to the shop, I wasn't quite sure what we were going to do, but we've made a plan. We bought some hooks from Buco in George, who kindly gave us a discount. I'm one of those that always ask for discount for charity, and they actually gave in and just gave me a bit of discount. We made it work with the cheapest budget possible. One of the challenges is that we need a constant supply of donations. So we need the public to declutter and actually drop their donations off for us. Fetching is going to be a little bit of a difficult thing at the moment. Mariette works full-time in the salon, and she kindly looks after the thrift shop now as well. She's also a part owner of the coffee shop at the Bridge House. So she's got her hands full, and it's going to be difficult for her to run around and collect donations. So we need the public to drop the donations off. And we're also hoping that the public will visit the shop and actually support the shop. It's pointless if we have all the donations and we're not selling them. But there has been a thrift shop in the same place before who was apparently doing quite well and relocated to bigger premises. So I'm hoping that will be the story that I will tell you in a year's time, that we have relocated to bigger premises.
Well, let's hope that even shows up before a year's time there. And, I'm just thinking that you'll take all sorts, and when you start getting all sorts, especially little electronic appliances and all that sort of stuff, it starts taking up quite a bit of a place there. Just as we wrap it up there, as a supporter, what are your hopes and aspirations for the future of Love Lucy and the impact on Southern Cape Bunyhaven? Of course, this money is going to go straight into the inoculations there for the RHDV as well. So that's the aim, I think, at this, to try and get as many vaccinations as possible.
Yes, absolutely. Also note, the vaccine has to be done yearly. So every year we're going to go through the same thing. Before we even have rabbits adopted, they've got to be vaccinated. And when you add all the cost up of sterilization, vaccination, people are not prepared to pay 2,000 rand for a rabbit when they can buy one from the pet shop for 100 bucks. So we cover a lot of the cost to have cheaper adoptions, basically. I'm hoping that the Love Lucy becomes a brand, and I'm hoping to open another shop, possibly in East London as well. The Bunyhaven is countrywide. Monique helps anybody and everybody all over South Africa with bunny-related things. Our vet in East London have pretty much become a specialist thanks to information from the Bunyhaven and from our vet in George. So we can now do teeth in East London. Dr. Gina from Wild Coast Vet can do pretty much anything related to bunnies, where previously they weren't really catering that much to bunnies. I'm also hoping to start a brand of themed items of Love Lucy. I'm hoping it catches on and it just explodes into an amazing brand to assist bunnies in need.
I'm sure we can speak about this topic all day long, and we are now heading towards the top of the hour. So any last parting words just to wrap it up very quickly? And from our side, thank you very much to all involved. You guys are doing an absolute fantastic job, and I don't know what we would do without people like you. So from our side, very well done, and just keep up the good work. I know sometimes it gets a bit tough, but you know what? You guys are doing a great job there. Some parting words there from your side, Sonia.
Thank you. We just need the public to get involved. We need people to help fundraise. If you can't donate, share the word. We are a registered charity. We can provide Section 18A tax certificates for any donations that we do get. there's a lot of fundraising knowledge and experience that I've got. If anybody is interested in fundraising, get in contact with me. I'll help you. I'll tell you how to do a golf day. I'll tell you how to do a biker's breakfast or a ladies' lunch. If somebody is keen anywhere in the country, I'm willing to help them. And I'm hoping that people are more willing to get involved and do a little bit of a fundraiser, even if it's through their company and getting their own brand out while raising money for the Bunny Haven. It will be amazing.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Sonia, for your time. While you're up there, stay safe. And I know you're going to go and visit the Haven tomorrow, so don't bring any bunnies home, please. Lovely stuff. And we'll check
in. I think yes, London has got enough bunnies.
I'm sure they have. And once again, thanks to all involved. And lovely stuff. And thanks to you for all the hard work that you put into it as well. Cheers from our side. And we hope to chat soon. And I'm sure we'll have a part three podcast in months to come.
Thank you very much. And thank you for chatting to me.
Cheers now. And we'll chat again soon. That's the Bunny Haven up in George. And, of course, we were chatting about the RHDV virus and how to create a bit of funds in that to assist with the costs. Lovely stuff.